This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Decided to play it today on our Freedom Works program because we have been downgraded with our bond rating once again with all the other news going on, and we will tell you a little bit about that later on in the show. But in the meantime, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this very busy Wednesday, August the 2nd. We have so much to talk about today. In a few minutes, John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us, and we're going to talk about why the judge in the Hunter Biden plea deal refused to rubber stamp the arrangement. She said no after taking a look at it. We're going to get into it, the whys and wherefores. Stay tuned. And all kinds of things to talk about as Donald Trump goes through, suffers, whatever you want to call it, his third indictment yesterday. We are going to discuss all things indictment, the whys and the wherefores, everything in between. Stay tuned for that. And despite the indictments that Trump's got, Trump and Biden appear to be tied in their race for the White House next year. Boy, oh boy, we're going to give you the latest numbers on that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, take a little breather from all the politics. The top 10 greatest NFL running backs, according to New Arena. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we're sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best hair cutter in Tampa Bay that I've ever found. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Give them a call first for your appointment. That's what you got to do. Call 727-733-3773. Great haircut, great price. And we're also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, tree grinding, anything to do with trees, they are the best in Tampa Bay. They are the premier tree service company. Why don't you call them for a free estimate today? 727-330-1999. So here we go again with Donald Trump and the indictment. It's probably going to raise his numbers because I'll tell you what, I was listing virtually 75% of the day yesterday. I kind of forget what time it was that that indictment came around. I think it was sometime in the afternoon. But Donald Trump already said he was about to be indicted. And sure enough, sometime around, I think, 4:30 in the afternoon or something like that, his third indictment. Now, all kinds of responses to this. Let's just go along and find some of the people involved in the election for 2020. Here's one. Vice President Mike Pence, when the indictment came out, he did not parse words when reacting to it. By the way, the indictment came by via Special Counsel Jack Smith. He got up there. He wouldn't take any questions. He just made the announcement, you know, said how important this thing was, big important day, etc. Anyway, in a statement released following the indictment, Pence accused Donald Trump of putting himself over the Constitution and said that a Trump candidacy would serve as a distraction from President Biden's disastrous record. So the gloves have been off, I guess, with the relationship between Donald Trump and his former Vice President, Mike Pence. Mike Pence wants to be president. I don't even think Pence has got enough whatever it is to qualify for the debate so far. Now, that would be an embarrassment. If Mike Pence, the former Vice President, does not qualify to get on stage for the Republican debate, which I think is, if I'm not mistaken, is August the 23rd. Here's what Pence had to say. Today's indictment serves as an important reminder. Anyone who puts himself over the Constitution should never be president of the United States. I will have more to say about the government's case after reviewing the indictment. He went on to say the former president is entitled to the presumption of innocence. But with this indictment, his candidacy means more talk about January 6th and more distractions. As Americans, his candidacy means less attention paid to the Biden's disastrous economic policies afflicting millions across the United States and to the pattern of corruption with Hunter. Well, I think there's some truth to that. By the way, do you know anything about this judge? I'll tell you, the fix is really in this one. I think he's probably going to be found guilty. But then he's going to be exonerated by one of the appeals. They will appeal it. If it goes up to the Supreme Court, the whole thing will be tossed. And I'll tell you why. Freedom of speech. Donald Trump can believe whatever he wants to believe and can say whatever he wants to say about the election. And you can't condemn him. Whether you believe him or not, in our country, you have a right to say what you feel. And he said what he felt.
Well, we know that they're going to go after him for putting the wrong type of mustard on a hot dog.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
It doesn't.
And I was thinking about this the other day. They were talking about Donald Trump, you know, and his legal fees and stuff, how it's mounting and mounting. I want to know, how much does it cost the American taxpayers since, what, the first impeachment?
Oh, go back.
All of these, let's add them all up. All of them.
Go back to the Russian collusion and all the money that was spent attacking him with that one. Up.
I'd love to know what the number is. And no, that'll never get paid back. Are you kidding me? And you produced absolutely nothing.
It's a field day for the lawyers, though.
Sure it is. But they've produced absolutely nothing. Not even enough for a radio talk show.
I know. We got a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately, we're stuck with this. Now, Donald Trump, every time they bring up these things, it's like beating a dog with a stick, you know, and you're whacking the dog. Everybody is going to start feeling sorry for the dog.
Exactly.
And this is what's happening.
You know, because this is brought up once a week as to why these people keep sticking behind Trump, because we're seeing it. Every time this comes up, we sit here almost on a weekly basis and say, you know, it's been quiet. Something's got to pop soon. Here comes something else. Here comes something else.
And it's usually on the heels of something with Biden.
Exactly. And it always amounts to nothing.
Right.
Where are the 29 women that are going to sue him as soon as he's done being president of the United States?
Right.
Where are those?
Exactly. They disappear into the woodwork, don't they? So
I don't know how he does it.
I wouldn't do it.
I don't know how he does it.
I wouldn't do it. I'd keep all my money, and I'd go home, and I'd have a good time the rest of my life. I wouldn't worry about this.
And you know his family members have got to say, listen, Dad, this is enough.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's gonna kill you, for crying out loud. I mean, to take this on a daily basis.
I don't know enough about his real personality, but he seems like a moth to the flame, doesn't he?
I know, Paul, but you can only take so much.
I agree.
About it that when he was president, he before his feet hit the floor, he would probably ask his advisor, "What am I accused of today?"
No, he has been the most persecuted politician in our country.
Do you really think anything they've accused him of, anything, has anything to do with the security of the United States of America? And don't give me that January 6th BS. Don't give me that. We know what that was.
Exactly. I want to just real quickly mention this this judge. The federal judge assigned to the indictment in Washington, D.C., over Donald Trump's prosecution, is notorious for issuing tougher sentences to other January 6th defendants than what the Justice Department requested, and put every one of them, she put every one of them behind bars. Now, her name is Tanya Shutkin. She was assigned to oversee the case involving Trump, and she's a Barack Obama appointee. She's a former assistant public defender. So she'll do everything in her power, I think, to make sure that he is found guilty. But as I say, in the long run, this thing's going to be overturned.
Somebody out there, a prosecutor or a judge, is looking to become the hero, to finally put him behind bars for putting the wrong mustard on his hot dog.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Being a hero. What happened to that big mouth in New York?
We got a lot of them.
The one that fizzled out. Alan Bragg. What happened with Big Mouth?
I don't know.
Alvin Bragg. Did you see the prosecutor yesterday?
Yes.
Was he shaking like a leaf or what?
Yeah, he was. And he wouldn't take any questions.
Of course not.
They rushed this through,
Biden
this through because they want to get off the Joe Biden train.
Well, that, and they want to get it before the election.
Well, of course. That's another thing. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, John Malcolm from the Heritage Foundation, we're going to talk about the judge in that situation, the Hunter Biden plea deal, refusing to use a rubber stamp on it.
When I first saw him standing there.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Wednesday, August the 2nd, and so on the heels of the Hunter Biden situation, we have this Donald Trump indictment. It seems like one seems to follow the other. This is the craziest, most bizarre era of federal government I have ever gone through in my entire life. But we have John Malcolm, who is the vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government and director of the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Great Heritage Foundation. He is joining us, and he talks about and has a piece regarding in the Daily Signal regarding why a judge refused to rubber stamp the shady Hunter Biden plea deal. John, welcome to Freedom Works.
Good to be with you.
Well, I think I would be remiss if I didn't ask you right off the bat, do you think it was a coincidence that Donald Trump's third indictment came on the heels of the Hunter Biden plea deal attempt?
Well, look, I don't think anybody expected the Hunter Biden plea deal to fall apart. And I think by then the president, former president, had received a target letter. So I don't want to say that it wasn't coincidental, but it certainly is suspicious.
Yes,
and you're
is.
Right, there are a lot of events happening all at one time. And, of course, he's likely to be indicted in Georgia sometime in the next couple of weeks, too.
Yes, and I should have actually mentioned that it comes more on the heels of Hunter Biden's business partner testifying before a congressional committee. That was a little bit, let's say, more, a little closer related. But anyway,
right.
On to the Hunter Biden plea deal.
Yep.
This is Judge, I've got it right, Mary Ellen Noriega. A U.S.
Yep.
District Court judge. I think, John, she smelled a rat to begin with on this one, where both parties in the Hunter Biden plea deal arrangement approach her and say, hey, we got something worked out. All we need is your signature on this thing. But she decided to take a look at it. And as you, I think, aptly say, she kind of expressed concern that she was being made to become essentially a decision maker on future charges that might be brought against Hunter Biden. Am I correct on that?
Well, she had a couple of concerns, and that's certainly one of them. I mean, she was absolutely right to question this. Kudos to her. It's difficult to see where things will go. So there were really two agreements at play. It was still a sweetheart deal. The first agreement was a plea agreement to two misdemeanor tax evasion charges with a government recommendation of probation. The separate agreement was a diversion agreement, which is not supposed to involve a court at all, between the government and the defendant on a gun charge. He had serious felony charge that Hunter Biden lied about his abuse of drugs at the time that he purchased a firearm. That's a federal felony. And that agreement said, okay, for 2 years you're going to be on probation, and if you comply with the terms of probation, that charge will disappear. It'll just be wiped clean from the books. So the two things that troubled her were, one, she looked at the plea agreement to the tax charge, which normally contains all of the material terms, including any other side deals or immunity agreement, and said, hey, there's no immunity agreement in here, isn't there? But there is one in this diversion agreement. This immunity provision clears him of certainly gun charges, certainly tax charges related to the business, foreign business entities that paid him a lot of money and for which didn't pay his taxes. But it's very broad. It could contain other charges as well. Why isn't that in the plea agreement? And the government, the defense lawyers didn't really have a good explanation for that. They then asked the government, look, does this mean that Hunter Biden could still be charged with violating, say, the Foreign Agents Registration Act? The government's lawyer said, yes, in fact, he's under investigation for that. Hunter Biden's lawyer said, oh, no, this is covered by the immunity provision in that diversion agreement. So there was not a common understanding about the scope of immunity. That was a problem.
Yeah.
The other problem was the diversion agreement, as you said, normally it's between the government and the defendant, and the government gets to decide whether the defendant has materially breached the terms of that diversion agreement. If he does, they can file new charges. This agreement had a provision that said if the government believes the defendant has breached the terms of that diversion agreement, they go to the judge, and the judge has to make a determination about whether Hunter Biden breached the agreement, and only then can new charges be filed. He said, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to have anything to do with this diversion agreement. You are making me the gatekeeper in terms of making a decision that could result in additional charges being filed against him. I think that violates separation of powers, so it's unconstitutional. You all go back and talk about this and brief that issue for me.
Yes.
That is why she refused to accept this plea, although there'll be a lot of moving parts between now and the time they file those briefs.
So when are they going to come back in front of the judge, and will they be forced to come up with a new plea agreement? Do you think Hunter Biden is going to decide, you know what, I think I'll plead not guilty and take my chances before the court? What do you think?
Well, I think he'd be making a mistake to do that, because the government could then file felony tax charges against him, and they could file a felony gun charge against him, but who knows what he's going to do. Any number of things could happen. Either the government and the defense attorney could file a brief and convince the judge that there really is no problem with the plea agreement as it was drafted. They could work out a new agreement and come back before the judge to try again. They could dismiss the charges altogether. They could dismiss them and then file new charges. Or Joe Biden might change his mind and decide to pardon his son.
Yeah, I mean, there's all... Look, everybody knows the fix is in. There's somebody that was involved with something very similar, and I don't have the story right in front of me, and I don't want to say something that's incorrect on it. But he was in front of a camera the other day, and they sent him to jail for a couple of years on something much less than what Hunter Biden has done. And it just seems like both the prosecution in this case, which is under the auspices of the executive branch of the government, and his father is the president. So the fix is obviously in. They want to keep him out of jail no matter what he's done. Now, according to what we've heard, if indeed he was sent to prison for a period of time, his father would not grant him a pardon. This is all in the future, of course. I guess it's kind of up in the air right now, right?
Yeah, look, the president can always change his mind. He has plenary authority to commute a sentence or to issue a pardon. The Justice Department is saying, oh, well, the U.S. attorney in charge of that investigation, David Weiss, was a Trump holdover. He had complete authority to do whatever it is he wanted to do. But there have been whistleblowers that have come forward that have said, oh, no, there was tons of interference with this investigation. Serious charges that we recommended that were well-documented were rejected. We were stopped from issuing, you know, conducting search warrants. Biden was tipped off as to people we wanted to interview and places that we wanted to locate. And, oh, by the way, the Department of Justice dithered so badly that the most serious tax charges for 2 years have now, we can't bring them because the statute of limitations has run. And all of this is being played out, and we'll see what effect it has on any resulting plea deal for Hunter Biden.
Indeed. We're talking with John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. He's vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government there, and he's director of their Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. He has a piece in the Daily Signal a couple of days ago, why a judge has refused to rubber stamp the shady Hunter Biden plea deal. Judge Mary Ellen Noriega is the judge that kind of kiboshed the plea deal, the wink and the nod that they were trying to do. Let me ask you this. Now that this has kind of fallen apart, it seems like more information seems to be coming out, which is linking Hunter Biden's activities to his father in his and the overseas things that are going on. And there has been a call for an independent prosecutor to come in and get it for out from under the Attorney General Merrick Garland and his group. Do you think there's any chance that Merrick Garland will entertain an independent prosecutor?
I think he sure ought to. I mean, you end up having Hunter Biden's former business partners, Tony Bobulinski, Devin Archer, Gal Luft, have all come forward and say Hunter Biden was selling a lot of access, and the person he was selling access about was his father, who was vice president at the time, and that the vice president delivered the goods, and in fact, through a whole series of financial transactions designed to hide where payments were going, he got paid. Those are very serious allegations. They are supported to some extent by material on the Hunter Biden laptop and emails and text messages that his former partners had. And I think Merrick Garland ought to appoint a special counsel. Whether he will or not, we'll see.
John, will you entertain a question from my colleague Ed Davis?
Yes, I will, although I got to run to another interview.
All right, we'll do this
real quickly. John, I just kind of had a thought. Should Hunter Biden be convicted of a felony? What is the policy in the White House of allowing a convicted felon to be running around inside there?
Well, it's up to them who they invite into the White House. It would certainly show very bad judgment having him in, but, you know, the president has made it very clear he's very loyal to his son. So if he's not behind bars, my guess is that even if he's convicted, he'll be welcome into the White House.
We already got cocaine being left in there. You know?
Hey, John, I know you got to run, my friend. Thank you so very much for taking time with us. I hope we can talk again down the road.
Sounds great. I would love that. Pleasure being with you.
All right, John. John Malcolm of the Heritage Foundation. This story ain't going away. Not for a long time. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to continue to discuss the situation with Donald Trump's third indictment. And despite the indictment, Trump and Biden going into the 2024 presidential race, right now, it looks like they're tied.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I see the bad moon rising. Hey, we are back. It's Wednesday, and like we talked about at the beginning of the show, the U.S. credit rating has taken a little bit of a blow. Fitch has announced that it is officially downgrading our long-term foreign currency issue situation and our rating with foreign currency from AAA to AA+. And they say the downgrade reflects the expected fiscal deterioration and the nation's heavy debt burden, which, by the way, is completely out of control. The ratings agency pointed to America's erosion of governance, their rising deficits, and tightening by the Federal Reserve. It also said that it expects the U.S. economy to slip into a mild recession. A mild recession here, the fourth quarter. So after that, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen got on the horn, pushing back on the move. She said the ratings agency was using old data, and she argued that conditions have improved under the Biden administration. Ha! I don't know where she gets that information. Somebody ought to set her straight. In the meantime, back to the response from a lot of people, including, by the way, Governor Ron DeSantis on the Donald Trump indictment. Of course, the Florida governor is running for president. And he delivered remarks at the Christians United for Israel summit. He said that he's called for law enforcement reform after this indictment. He announced that he would, quote, end the weaponization of government, unquote, and push for law enforcement reforms if he captures the White House. He says, as president, I will end the weaponization of government, replace the FBI director, and ensure a single standard of justice for all Americans. He says, while I've seen reports, I have not read the indictment. I do, though, believe that we need to enact reforms so that Americans have the right to remove cases from Washington, D.C. to their home districts. Washington, D.C. is a swamp. And he says it's unfair to have the, to have to stand trial before a jury that is reflective of the swamp mentality. Well, I think he's right about that. So there's been a lot of people that have been talking about here. Here's one. This, you'll get a kick out of this one, Ed. Of course, you know, Fox News has been all over the indictment ever since it was announced. And this guy, Jack Smith, that we were talking about earlier, the special counsel that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know that this is the second indictment that Jack Smith has launched on Donald Trump.
Yeah, the first one didn't work out too well.
So Smith, who brought four 2020 election-related charges against Trump, according to one legal analyst, Smith should be indicted for stupidity. Greg Jarrett, speaking on Fox News, said that the 45-page indictment of Trump, in which Jack Smith lays out charges, including one count better known for being used against the KKK in the 1870s, yes. He said it's an amateurish joke.
Yes. Well, there was a lot of experts saying that these latest charges are probably the weakest of the bunch.
Yeah.
So it's just
that's why I think it's going to be tossed.
It's just another one to mount onto the pile. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the deal. It's going to be going on during the election.
Yes.
And the idea behind these Democrats is, right or wrong, as long as you keep throwing the pig out there, whether or not the pig is legitimate you're going to be talking about the pig.
What happened to innocent before, you know.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is when the Hunter Biden, came out with the transcript the other morning, I noticed that... CNN was leading with soccer.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't. No time to
soccer,
talk about Hunter Biden.
And then Trump and nothing about Biden.
Yeah, no time to talk about
Hunter. It's just like a wonderful local paper. Still nothing.
I was watching, in the morning I watch C-SPAN's Washington Journal, where they supposedly are unbiased. They're not. They're very biased. They're very liberal. But you have a call-in show. And they have a line for Democrats, and a line for Republicans, and a line for independents. They usually take, I think, three times more calls from Democrats than Republicans. But, of course, today's show was wall-to-wall indictment of Donald Trump.
Oh, sure.
You don't think they ever did a wall-to-wall on the Hunter Biden. They've never done it. Mm. Never. Never.
No.
And, in fact, when Hunter Biden's buddy was testifying behind closed doors, not only did they not do a call-in on it, they didn't even bring up the topic. They didn't even bring the topic up.
You know, I looked into some of the things that guy has, I don't want to say kid, that guy has done in Hunter Biden. And he's a scumbag, is what he is. I mean, the things that he's done...
You talking about his buddy?
No, I'm talking about Hunter Biden himself.
Oh, Hunter Biden is
I didn't realize,
a reprobate. Oh,
I just
no,
thought
he's
maybe
a reprobate.
He just... I just thought maybe, you know,
ran a
little bit, you know, but no.
No, the guy's been a reprobate. He's done, what he's done with his personal life and with other people, he's treated people like garbage. Obviously treated the mother of his child like garbage. He's even tried to disown her and say that he had nothing to do with the child himself.
I don't know how
he can get up in the morning and go to the mirror.
No child support.
He didn't want to pay child support.
Right.
They had to do a DNA test to prove that he was the father.
It is in
such... And then his father wanted to ignore the whole situation.
It's in such bad taste to see him getting off Air Force One and just, you know, tooling around the White House lawn is just...
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, everybody knows, anybody with a brain knows that Hunter Biden and his father have been colluding to take bribes. They've got him on the plane with him, going over to all these places in Europe.
Well, the reason I
setting
asked,
him up for all kinds of money situations.
The reason I asked John about should Hunter Biden, I couldn't believe I Bidened out on his name. Hunter Biden be convicted of a felony, what the policy is of the White House of, you know, a convicted felon running around.
Yeah, you
have
Sean Malcolm, our guest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is some policy. You know, if you go there, they do a background check. Anybody goes in there, they do that.
You're supposed to.
Okay, well, I wonder if they would make him, like, wear a GPS monitor. to keep a constant eye on where he's at, you know?
What about shackling one of those things to his ankle?
Well, let's, you know, a little ankle monitor. You know,
yeah,
the little GPS thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then if he goes into the wrong quarter, it just starts beeping.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be beeping all the time, wouldn't it? The battery would go dead on it. So this Jack Smith, who he's had a couple of cases absolutely, completely, unanimously overturned by the Supreme Court. And he's the kind of guy, it just seems like he's out, the facts be damned. He's out to misconstrue even the indictment itself.
Well, they're so desperate for anybody. I mean, look at Bragg in New York. How many cases did he lose?
Yeah.
And plea down.
So we were talking about this Greg Jarrett, who is a lawyer that appears from time to time on Fox News. And he says, he's the one that said that Jack Smith should be indicted for stupidity. He went on to say, "This indictment strikes me as an amateurish joke. Jack Smith, as special counsel, should be indicted for stupidity. It's that bad." He said that Smith has a disreputable habit of changing politically driven prosecutions.
You know what would change all this, Paul?
What?
If they told the prosecutors from here on out, if you don't win the case, it comes out of your pocket.
Yes.
Let's see how many of them bring charges.
I know.
Because it's just free money to them.
Yeah, the law firm
they don't care.
That brings a frivolous charge and it's tossed should pay all the expenses of the people that they charged and all the court costs.
I mean, if I were Trump,
I would make it, that would cut down on a lot of this
nonsense.
If I were
Trump, I'd start going back through all the ones that he's won. And then they've proved nothing. And get them to reimburse my lawyer fees.
Yeah. No, I agree. Here's an interesting story about this indictment. Former President Trump's latest indictment relating to the 2020 election aftermath will not come close to fulfilling the Democrats' dreams of stopping the Republican frontrunner from attaining the presidency again. This according to Jonathan Turley. He's a law professor at George Washington University. He's a conservative law professor at George Washington. Those things are like finding a diamond. I mean, there are so few of them, but he is. And his analysis was seconded by another legal expert, Andy McCarthy. He's a former New York federal prosecutor who noted that he had himself successfully prosecuted a seditious conspiracy case that was similar to this Trump indictment. Turley said that special counsel Jack Smith might be yielding to his weakness with this indictment, giving in to a weakness, you know, rather than looking at the facts and making an objective decision. Well, we all know that he certainly is not making an objective decision. He said Smith may be stretching the law, so that's why we're going to be looking at things like witness tampering to see how much new evidence he has. You'll notice that not being discussed in all of this is a conspiracy for indictment and seditious conspiracy. They're not trying to indict Trump for causing the riot. Did you notice that? It's not in the indictment because they know they don't have a case.
You can't
there.
Because he never
well, they
said
know
let's
they
go
don't
to,
have a case there.
He never said let's go to the Capitol and riot.
And riot. He said let's go and march peacefully and patriotically.
I mean, if you took what Maxine Waters said to constituents out there and people out there, and put that in Trump's mouth, you'd have a case.
Yeah. No, you're right. All righty, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, despite all these indictments, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are neck and neck in this race for the White House. We're going to give you the latest numbers.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Freedom Works, we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you on the Tan Talk Radio Network Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and we're so delighted you're with us. However, we know you can be doing things at that time, so thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website and listen to our show anytime your little heart desires. All you have to do is go to OurFreedomWorks.com. That's O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows on there for you, starting with the most recent show at the top. He'll also he also lists who the guest is at the start of our program and what the topic will be and our top 10. So bless him and get over there. Take a look. We got other things on the website, OurFreedomWorks.com. So despite this indictment, Biden and Trump are tied in a hypothetical 24 rematch, according to the New York Times Siena College poll. If the election were held today, both Biden and Trump would get 43% of the vote overall from the registered voters that were surveyed. However, both of them continue to have high disapproval numbers, with 54% of voters disapproving of Biden, 55% disapproving of Trump. Have you ever seen a presidential race where the two most disliked candidates are leading their respective parties? It's really bizarre.
And they're both going after each other.
They're both going after each other.
I just wonder who's mining the store.
Now, we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
We got 15 months to go before the election.
But the Dems have got to be really sweating here, because I think the biggest telltale is the fact that you'd think with the indictments and all that stuff that the DeSantis would start moving up.
Yeah.
Or somebody would start moving up. And Trump is actually starting to gain more and more distance.
Exactly. In fact, in this very same poll, Trump gets 54% from GOP primary voters, DeSantis 17%. That's almost 40% less than Trump.
Hmm.
Speaking of DeSantis, did you know he's challenged Kamala Harris to a debate?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. She's going around claiming that the educational standards in Florida are unfairly picturing slavery, right? So,
And black people.
But teaching the history of slavery in the United States, she claims that there is, that it's being unfairly portrayed in Florida in the state's educational standards. So Kamala Harris has rejected Ron DeSantis's offer to debate the state's history curriculum after Kamala Harris claimed that the state was obfuscating horrors of slavery. Speaking in Orlando at the 20th Women's Missionary Society of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Harris dismissed the governor's offer to set the record straight. She says, they attempt to legitimize these unnecessary debates with a proposal that most recently came of a politically motivated roundtable. In other words, I ain't going to do the debate.
No,
she doesn't want to get into any kind of a discussion when it comes to really.
I don't know if he actually called it a debate. Did he wanted to sit down and have a discussion?
Yeah. They call it a debate, well, but yeah, a discussion.
But her answer is, in other words, she was in fear that she'd have to put three sentences together that actually meant something.
Yeah, and the only thing that I've seen. And this is what Democrats, liberals, and people that dislike Republicans are jumping on, is that one of the people who, by the way, was a black educator that was formulating the discussion of slavery in the United States, talked about the fact that some of the enslaved blacks picked up certain skills as slaves.
Right.
Didn't say it was right.
Right.
But it was true. They did. Mm-hmm. And when they were freed, some of them were able to use those skills mm-hmm. to better themselves. Now, is that racist? No, I don't think so. It's being honest.
Well, here's the thing. If I were to go and debate with Kamala Harris, it would last about 3 minutes. Because after she'd mumble, I would come back with, well, you would know all about racism, seeing how you called Joe Biden a racist.
Yes. Hey. Do we have time for this? Maybe we do. I'll try. Speaking about talking about Joe Biden, do you know that he continues to repeat a crazy story about how many miles he traveled on Amtrak? Biden repeats a questionable claim that he traveled over 1 million miles on Amtrak over 36 years. He just did it again in a recent interview. This has been given him all kinds of Pinocchios. He dates the story to his vice presidency, saying that he was once grabbed by a conductor who had calculated his Amtrak miles. He says, one day as vice president, I was going home on the train, which the Secret Service doesn't like because there's so many opportunities to interrupt the train. And this particular guy, I'm not going to embarrass him and say his name, he grabs me on the cheek and he goes, Joey, baby. And the man then told Biden that he calculated his miles traveled. And Biden repeated the questionable claim that he traveled over 1 million miles over the 36 years that he traveled in Amtrak. That claim, which would have put Biden's Amtrak miles as being even higher than his miles on Air Force One, according to his own telling of the story, has been repeatedly fact-checked. In fact, the guy that he claimed was the conductor that told him about that had passed away during the period that he supposedly had told him about his trip.
While he accumulated all those
miles. He must have come back from the dead to tell him.
He did that while curing cancer and finishing first in his class.
He was just an amazing human being. We just have to be honest about it. Okay. Well, real quickly, Ed, I hear that we actually won a game. When I say we, I mean the Tampa Bay Rays. Did they beat the Yankees?
Real quickly, well, they've won 2 out of 3 so far.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, and I'm critical of the Rays.
You
are. But the Yankees? They are pitiful.
Are they that bad?
They are. No, bad would call them bad. I mean,
they're even pitiful. Worse than bad.
They can't buy a home run. And I, you know what? I personally think the players are tanking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they want
the, for the Yankees
they,
or
yeah,
for
the? They want the manager gone for the Yankees.
Who's the manager of the Yankees?
Oh, what's his name? I don't even care.
Casey Stengel?
No, you'll jump back 50 years.
I know,
but
that was being funny.
I forget his name, but I don't really care. But
Anyway, I got you.
They are bad.
All right, they're bad. No problem. All right, speaking of sports, that's our top 10. Top 10 greatest NFL running backs, and I want to see if you can guess who's number one.
I got mine already.
All right, good. This comes from New Arena. Everybody has their own.
Yeah.
All right. So we're just giving you the New Arena. 10 greatest NFL running backs. Number 10, Emmitt Smith.
Okay.
I think he was a great one. I remember Emmitt Smith. He had huge legs.
But he had a wonderful offensive line.
Well, that always helps.
And then when he left Dallas, he didn't do anything.
And he played for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay, number 9, O.J. Simpson. Mm. Remember him. He was a great running back with the Buffalo Bills. And then he went to, the Los Angeles Rams?
Rams, yeah.
Okay, number 8. You know, it was actually Earl Campbell that had the big thighs, now that I think about it. And Earl Campbell, he played for the Houston team.
Yes, Houston Oilers. The Oilers, bad shape, too.
He was what?
He's in bad shape.
Is he? Yeah. Why?
Shaking and just all the years of hits.
Oh, boy. Okay, number 7. The late, great Gale Sayers.
Okay.
I've never seen a guy that could cut back. Mm-hmm. He scored 6 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
Number 6. Do you remember LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yes, went for the Chargers.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a good one. Number 5.
Bo Jackson?
Bo Jackson.
I don't think Bo Jackson played enough to be in that list there.
Yeah.
He didn't play enough.
Well, there's a bunch of them that got injured quickly or dropped out soon. Yeah. Number 4. I think this is one of the greats. Barry Sanders.
That's my first one. That's my number one.
Yeah, Barry Sanders. He broke all kinds of records. He could easily be called number one by some people. Number 3. Eric Dickerson. What do you think?
Top 5.
He played for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, top 5, but I'd put him at 5.
Yeah.
I put him at 5. He played for the Rams and then the Colts.
Oh, he played for the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Number 2. Sweetness.
Yeah, Walter Payton.
Walter Payton. I'm biased. I think he might have been the greatest. He could do it all.
Yeah.
He could do it all. He could catch passes out of the backfield. He could block. You know, he was a great blocker.
Yeah. Yeah, and I used to talk to some of the linemen, and I would say, is he hard to bring down? He says, it's not really hard to bring down. He's just hard to catch.
Yeah, and he would hit you hard too. He would dish it out when you tried to tackle him.
And he died such a shameless death.
Oh, it was so sad. He had that liver bad.
And people were saying it was something else. They were saying it was AIDS.
Oh, no, I don't.
Oh, he was going through that awful thing.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that you know, it's not Barry Sanders. Who do you think they would be rated number 1?
They just love Jim Brown.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo, it is. Jim Brown, who, speaking about someone that decided, he played for the Cleveland Browns, we know that, back in the 60s, right? In the early 60s. And then he quit at the top of his game to go into acting. Mm-hmm.
He was a good actor.
He was pretty good actor.
He was a good actor, yeah.
Yeah, he was. I was watching one of his movies the other day that he starred in. And
it was in Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
It might have been his most recent one.
And you know, he was one of the stars of The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
A great movie.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Friday. In the meantime, be good. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. The possible legal strategy of former President Trump could be beginning to emerge a day after he was indicted in the investigation into the 2020 election. Trump attorney John Lauro on CBS Mornings says the former president's actions were based on what he was told at the time.
John Eastman, who's an eminent scholar, gave the president an option, actually several options. What the president said is, I'm going to take the option that asks Mr. Pence to pause the voting so we go back to the contested states and elect allow the states one last time to make a decision on that.
CBS's Scott McFarland.
This 45-page indictment lists six unnamed, uncharged co-conspirators. Sources close to the investigation say the indictment suggests lawyers Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Sidney Powell, and former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark could be those potential co-conspirators, though the special counsel has not confirmed the identities.
CBS's Nicole Killian is in Atlanta, where a prosecutor is also probing the election.
She continues to move a full speed ahead as far as her investigation is concerned. We are in the midst of a window where District Attorney Fannie Willis could announce a charging decision at any time, and we are seeing things being set into motion here.
From AAA to AA+, that's the credit rating drop for the U.S. from one of the key rating services. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Economists say it's a little bit strange to see the downgrade.